This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Wednesday morning. As Rick knows, I do not love the Wednesday, but I'm here and I'm for the most part happy this morning on April the 21st of 2021. Let's say good morning to the guys. We have a lot to get into today. I mean, the Knicks with a great win. I'll say it. Islanders pasting of the Rangers last night. The Mets can't put a run across the board. The Yankees barely can, but they get the win. The Nets, bad news for them, although they do get the victory. And let's get into it and let's say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. It's not a pretty win for my Yankees, but we'll take it. We get off the schneid. We stop a five-game losing streak and appreciate the pass ball and the walk. I'll take it.
So a win is a win is a win, as my dad used to say. And good morning, Rick DiPietro. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm feeling great. Welcome back, Josh Bailey. 6-1. Feels good. I will say this, though. It could be touch and go for the next 3 hours. I decided last night was a good night to eat way too much buffalo cauliflower.
Nice.
And we got a situation. We got a situation brewing. I'm just
coming, coming in hot.
You're trying to rival,
figuratively.
Too hot.
To rival the kids. Rocco, you want to compete?
I'll tell you this. It's coming out hotter than it went in. I can promise you that.
Really?
Oh.
How much broccoli did you eat?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
Oh. How much too cauliflower much. Did you eat?
Well, it's a leftover situation, and we had it two nights ago. So this was it. Like, it had to be eaten, and there was way too much left over.
So you turned into the garbage disposal is what happened.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just finish it. It tastes so good. I'll just finish it.
But how much did you eat?
I don't even know how to describe it. So you probably
was it like a bowl? Like if I gave my kids that amount of cauliflower, would they have left the house? Would they have said like there is zero chance that we can even attempt to finish that?
No, they wouldn't have finished it. It was probably three trips up.
Oh,
like plate full. Like I had the meatloaf.
I had the cauliflower. Full of cauliflower?
Like ate that portion.
Plate full?
Yeah, ate that portion. Went back up for sec. Yeah, went up. It was thirds. Thirds of the cauliflower. And then I thought it'd be better if I put a little extra Franks on this. A little more Franks.
Oh my
Buffalo
God.
Red Hot.
You can't eat that much roughage.
Oh, dude, it was bad. I made that mistake on a plane one time where I thought it was a good idea to like bring my own food.
First of all, who eats plane food?
No, he brought his own food, Dave.
I brought my own food. No, I was like, we were leaving. I mean, we're going to Florida and we had stuff in the fridge. And Cass is like, well, I mean, you're going to get hungry on the plane. Just bring the extra stuff so we don't have to throw it away. And it was like this big thing of broccoli and cauliflower that I decided I would eat as soon as I got
the
on the
people
plane.
Around you must have loved that.
Well, no, I had to sit in the bathroom the whole time. I couldn't come back. I couldn't control myself.
They probably were concerned. Excuse me, where's 11D? Broccoli cauliflower.
Don't go in there for like 35, 45 minutes. It was bad.
Oh, my
man.
God. I love it. Excuse me, where's 11D? I'm sorry, he's in the bathroom. Broccoli cauliflower, just too much. You're a savage. Well, don't you learn your lesson?
Nah, man, I couldn't. In that moment, it was so delicious, and I was hungry. I had baseball practice with Milo. I came back. Cass had dinner ready. I sat down, ate way too fast, and then I was like, oh, God, this is delicious. I'm just going to keep eating it.
You're just going to keep going?
Just kept going. I was like, I don't want to throw it. It might
has
be bad tomorrow.
Has it hit yet?
Yes. It hit last night.
It hit last night.
It hit during the Mets game, and then again this morning, it hit even worse this morning.
Now, when you woke up, did you realize you were in trouble, or did you have a few minutes of like, okay, things are fine, and then it erupted?
No, I mean, this is going to sound weird when I describe what happened, but I was actually... So I was on my way from the gym to the kitchen to get myself signed on to the Comrex, and I just so happened that I was nude at the time. And then, like, as I was making my way back to, you know, shower and everything else, all of a sudden I got like this quick pain. I was like, uh-oh. And I almost lost it right in the kitchen.
The fact, by the way, that you just walk around nude at 3 o'clock in the morning is they should do like a mini series on that. But all right, let's move on. How about the fact, guys? How about the fact that the Knicks are the team that I can count on right now? Not the Rangers, not the Mets. The Knicks are like my foundational piece of, don't worry, they'll give you a performance. And Chris, they did it again last night.
No, they played really well last night, Dave, especially in that second half. I mean, the first half was a three-point shootout between the two teams, and the Hornets put up 66 on the Knicks, which is not something that's typical of a Tom Thibodeau team. But you saw them locked down in that third quarter. I mean, they only allowed 31 points in the second half, so let's start there. But you saw in that third quarter was really where the Knicks took control. They had a 19-8 run, and it was really off the strength of R.J. Barrett's performance, who dropped 18 of his 24 in that third quarter. So, I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. They have awareness about where they're at in the standings, but they take it one game at a time. And last night, even though that Charlotte Hornets team was a little bit feistier than a lot of people expected, the Knicks found a way to take control of that game in the second half and to finish the drill. And now you're talking about being a half game out of fourth place and having control over that tonight when you play against the Atlanta Hawks. So if you're a Knicks fan, you got to feel great about where this team is at.
You know what I loved about last night, too? Was they won a game, and it was an important game.
Very.
Where Julius Randle didn't have his best night. That's huge for them. Because, I mean, quickly, 17 points in the second quarter, he was awesome. R.J. Barrett was not good at all in the first half of that game.
No.
And then all of a sudden, third quarter, like nothing happened, he turns it on. I actually thought his three, there was like just under 4 minutes left, and the Knicks had gone like close to 3 minutes without scoring. And then he hits that three to push it back to 10. I thought that was a huge three he hit. Derrick Rose down the stretch, finished the deal. But, I mean, now you got Atlanta coming in, back-to-back.
They're on a monster back-to-back game
as well.
Tonight.
It's
a humongous
game.
This is the biggest Knicks game you've had in years.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into the analytics. I mean, how much fun is this team to watch?
I mean, that's really funny. I don't understand. What I do not understand is how I say this team is fun to watch. A guy calls and says the word analytics instead of analysis, and now I am somehow the poster boy. Why? You know what I'm going to do? You're going to send a bobcat to my house. I'm going to send like plates of broccoli, steamed, delicious broccoli to your home, cauliflower, roughage, salad.
How do you get attacked by a bobcat?
Romaine lettuce. I do. Eat it. Just shove it in your mouth and have blowouts all over the place, all right?
Dave,
I'm tired of you.
Dave,
take it.
What happened to nice Rick DiPietro? I thought he was going to be nice to you.
He can't do it.
Stop trying to bully you on the air.
No,
I thought that was done with after yesterday's show.
His true colors, they always, always come out. He can try. He's like a serial killer. It's like they can try. They can tell themselves, don't do this. You have to be better. You can't kill people. Ted Bundy used to have the same thing. The same exact thing. I got to be better. I can't kill people anymore. And then this inner demon would explode out, and that Rick has the same thing.
The Knicks are great.
I love watching this team.
I want to kill him. I want to strangle him dead with my bare hands.
It didn't work out for my Mets. Something happened yesterday. The Mets said they reversed. They looked like the Yankees yesterday, so I got to change it up today.
So you're a different guy now. You're changing it up for karma reasons.
No, I'm actually. This is just me. Yes, I guess yesterday was fake. Rick.
Of course, I couldn't last at all. I mean, but let's be fair. Tonight is a huge game for the Knicks, and they came out firing last night, and their defense was awful, and Thibodeau must have been livid at halftime, and they come out, and Charlotte can barely put the ball in the basket in the second half.
Well, this is great defense. I mean, you've seen it the entire year. I mean, what you saw in the first half was uncharacteristic of the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
P.J. Washington went off in the first half. I mean, just look at, I mean, you know, Chris mentioned it to open the show. When you start looking at what they did from three in the first half as opposed to three in the second half, I mean, Charlotte was 13-19 from three in the first half. They get 3-20 in the second half.
If they shot it from three in the first half, it went in. Do you remember, I forget who took the shot. It hit the rim and then just sat there
Terry Rozier.
It was a brick. It was a brick that went into the basket.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, Charlotte could not miss from deep. They had 8 3-point makes in the first quarter. Like, you typically don't see that from teams in the NBA. I mean, outside of what we saw in the Golden State Warriors in the mid-2010s, like, you don't see teams that are capable of being able to fill it up from deep at that clip. But that was the Hornets' night. But credit the Knicks for being able to find a way to run them off of the 3-point line in the second half and being able to neutralize what they were doing offensively. Like, they found a way to be able to slow down the game, and the Charlotte Hornets do not do great when they have to get into half-court sets offensively. So, you know, you credit the Knicks for being able to slow that tempo down in the second half and then be able to find their offense and being able to go on a little bit of a run. And R.J. Barrett was a huge part of that, and Rick said it. Julius Randle did not have a huge scoring night, but Julius Randle had a hell of an impact on that game, just being able to facilitate from that power forward position. Him getting the ball in the mid post in the fourth quarter and being able to make the right play, being able to find the open guy and hitting him and allowing those guys to be able to knock down shots, trusting his teammates in that way. Like, I just, Julius Randle is, I don't know how we're seeing such a shift in terms of the player that he was last year and the guy that he is this year. But I mean, this dude is a really special player, and Tibbs talked about it after the game, just how he finds ways to contribute all the time and make everybody around him better. And you saw that in the fourth quarter, and it's clear to me that this team feeds off of his energy. But last night, he also had somebody to pick up the slack in terms of overall scoring, and that person was R.J. Barrett. And I hope that this is a sign of things to come for him, because the Knicks are really going to need him down the stretch and on into the postseason if they want to continue to be competitive.
Here is Julius Randle on R.J. Barrett, and his confidence just continues to grow day after day after.
Yeah, he's steady. He's never going to lack confidence. He missed shots. I had to tell him to keep shooting, keep being aggressive. He had told him in halftime, you know, you got a big second half coming, and that's exactly what he did. Ready to shoot, ready to make plays, whatever it was. So, I mean, that's just the growth from year one to year two for him. He's doing an amazing job, and we're going to need him to do more for us to keep winning.
He's a far superior player this year. And is he Zion? No. Is he Ja Morant? No. But is he a guy that almost every night you can rely on? And then the occasional game, he's going to give you a really, really big game. R.J. Barrett has turned himself into a good player. And this is year two. He's not 27 years old. He's 20 years old. The future is very bright with this kid.
Yeah, you can see him getting better. I mean, right in front of your face. I mean, he hit six threes yesterday. I mean, remember early on in the season how bad he was? Like, we're at a certain point, we're doing shows. We're like, just stop shooting from three.
That's
you
right.
You have to stop.
Did they say last night that the Knicks are like the sixth best three-point shooting team in the NBA right now?
They've completely turned it around.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, even Bullock last night. I mean, that's why I love that game last night, because everyone contributed last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Julius Randle didn't score the points, but I mean, he's still he helps facilitate the offense. I mean, seven assists, he had the 10 rebounds, so he finds a way to contribute. Still plays 40 minutes, but everyone found a way to bring something to the table last night to pull off that win. Either defensively, chipping in offensively. I'll tell you what, man. To have a game tonight where all of a sudden we're talking about this team being in fourth in the East.
They win tonight, they're in fourth. They win tonight, they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference right now.
And I don't care what anyone says. And again, you guys know how annoyed I get with what the MVP has turned into. Because it ends up being most outstanding player on the best team. Like, again, by definition of the word, if this Knicks team finishes fourth or fifth in the East, Julius Randle has to get MVP votes.
I think you're right. And if they finish fourth or fifth in the East, how does Tom Thibodeau not get consideration for Coach of the Year? How is that possible?
Has to.
He has to. They have to. And we didn't think that was realistic a couple weeks ago. This team is a win away tonight from being in the fourth spot. People thought they were going to be the laughing stock of the NBA.
Dave, they had 22 and a half wins was their projected win total, Dave.
Right. Right.
They're at
31?
They're at 32 wins right now.
32? What are they, 32-27? Is that what they are?
32-27.
I mean, it's amazing. What they have done is nothing short of amazing. If you told me that you had a vote and that you voted for Tom Thibodeau as Coach of the Year, I would say, you know what, that's well within your right. Like, that is not a crazy vote right now whatsoever.
It's not a crazy vote, but he's not going to get that vote, though. You know it's going to come down to Quinn Snyder or Monty Williams out there in Phoenix. Like, those are going to be the coaches that one of those guys is going to walk away with it. But that doesn't take away from the job that Tibbs has done with this team. Like, it's night and day what this Knicks team is, and you see it reflected in the development of the players. Like, Julius Randle is a completely different guy. Same with R.J. Barrett, especially in the second half. And this team, you can tell when they're playing basketball that they actually believe in each other. They believe in what their coach is selling them, and they believe that they're going to have a chance to win in every single game. Doesn't matter who they're going against. Like, even when they're playing against the Brooklyn Nets, and it's just like, you know, they have no business being on the same court from a talent perspective as the Brooklyn Nets, but this Knicks team doesn't back down. Like, that's the part that Knicks fans have got to love about this team. having that kind of identity.
And it's game after game after game. All right, let's RJ. Can we quickly go to this caller? Should we break and come back and get to him? You tell me. I don't want to get in trouble with the bosses here. All right.
Really, it's five a.m.
Doesn't matter. RJ is a taskmaster, and if you don't do what he says, he'll yell at you. You don't hear it. I get it all show long. Do this. Don't do this. Play the sound. Hurry up. Get through it. Oh, you just sit there on your little joyride thinking about broccoli and cauliflower. I have to deal with this kind of stuff.
No, I'm sitting here clenched. I'm telling you right now.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's go to the call. Mike in Manhattan. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Mike? You're up.
So I just got a puppy on Saturday. She's a rescue from St. Martin. And at night, this dog cries so much and keeps me up all night. I was wondering if you had the same type of issues with your puppies that you just got.
Well, I will tell you what we have started to do, and I think this is wise advice, exhaust them. Exhaust this dog. We had the boys take the puppies out last night and run them. I'm not exaggerating. Alex had baseball practice. We brought the puppies to practice at the end. They ran the bases over and over and over with the puppies. We got home. They could barely keep their heads up into their crate last night, fast asleep. They're still sleeping now. That's my advice to you. Treat them like a baby. Exhaust them.
I thought you were going to say peanut butter.
I'm glad you're back. Welcome back. If you thought Rick DiPietro was going to be a changed man, you, in fact, were wrong.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Canty, is this a national game tonight?
Is the whole country going to see the
It's
Knicks
8 o'clock, so you would think that it would. Hang on. Yeah, all I know is the start time. You're asking me the wrong question.
Well, I mean, you are the Knicks producer. I would think that would be something that you would have on lockdown, but that's okay. Sure, you're focusing on your Cowboys memes and that kind of stuff at this end.
Wow. But, wow, stall him out, Dave. Give Santiago a break, man. He's just trying to make it through. He's trying to get through our show, okay?
Good, I mean, it's got to be like a Dez Bryant meme or something.
It's one of your favorite pastimes, throwing Santiago under the bus, isn't it?
I'll throw anybody under the bus.
The way that Rick goes after you is the same way that you go after Santiago. It's the same exact thing.
I think that Dr. Freud would agree. I'm deflecting. Like, Rick attacks me, and then in turn, I attack Santiago.
Yeah, but you don't like the way it feels when Rick goes after you. Why would you think that Santiago would like the way it feels when you attack him?
That's a great point.
But yet you play the victim. You know what I'm saying, Rick? This is case in point. Dave wants everybody to look at him as the guy that gets victimized, the guy that gets bullied on the show, yet he does the exact same thing to Ray. It's not right. I'm calling it out on a Wednesday.
I think that you might be right, and I think that I should try to be better.
You're a bad guy.
No matter the depths of what Rick does to anybody on the show, me in particular, I'm gonna do my best to be better. So, Raymond, if you could,
not a national game.
No, it's not.
Not a national game.
No, I'm looking right now.
So why does it start at 8 o'clock?
I don't have the answers for you. I don't make the schedules.
Well, I wouldn't attack you for something like that, but I was just wondering if you might know. You don't know. So it's an 8 o'clock game for no reason. That's great.
Wonderful. I don't like the 8 o'clock game. I'll tell you what,
I like the
6:30 start.
Oh, the 6:30 start is glorious.
It's great.
I mean, it is perfect for what you're looking for. Perfect. 6:30, done by 9:30-ish. It's absolutely ideal. All right, so let's get back to the Knicks, and let's hear from Tom Thibodeau. 800-919-3776. We threw the question out there. If you had a vote for the MVP and you had a vote for Coach of the Year, is it realistic to think you could go Randall and Thibodeau? Rick, I'm going to ask you. If you had a vote for Coach of the Year, who would you vote for right now? Right now.
Well, I'm biased.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Can you try to take a step back from it, or is that not a possibility?
I would probably, in all honesty, and I love Fibs, but if I were to be objective on voting for Coach of the Year, I would probably go Monty Williams.
Okay, I think that's fair. Now, Chris, you're not biased because the guy that you root for is not going to win it. So who would you go with?
Yeah, I'm with Rick. I go Monty Williams on that one. To have a team that finished 10th in the West last year and outside of the playoffs, and now they're second in the West this season, I don't think anybody could have predicted that come the preseason. As great as the Knicks turnaround is and how awesome a story it is for the NBA, I think what the Phoenix Suns is doing is that much more incredible. I really do.
It really is. Now, here's Thibodeau after the game last night. Did you ever think it was a possibility? Did you ever think this team was capable of winning seven games in a row? Here he is.
I never really looked at it that way. I did think we would be able to become successful if we did the right things. Understanding, I think, what goes into winning. And if you go step by step, and as I mentioned, the bubble was very beneficial towards for us, just in terms of getting to know all the players and starting to put the system in. But just seeing the commitment that they were willing to make, and then I thought it was important for us to go step by step, be a great practice team first, and start there. And once you do that, if you practice well, you'll play well.
I give him a lot of credit. I mean, whether he wins the award or not, the fact that he has the Knicks where they are right now is really, it's a miraculous job. It really is. And I think even though it's great, even though you're thrilled in the moment, it's got to be frustrating to think about. We've had so many bad coaches over the last God knows how long. If they would have hired this guy a decade ago, would we be in the situation that we're in right now?
Yeah, but you can't think like that because you never know. I mean, you got just be happy you got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so far, so good. I mean, from the top right down to what Thibs is doing. And it's not just Thibs. I mean, is it the players have to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it goes hand in hand. Like, what Thibs has been able to do is also because of how Julius Randle's bought into it and the success that he's having.
Like, yeah, but
Chris, if I'm one of those players, I'm looking at, okay, you know, Thibs is, if we practice great, we're going to play great. If you do this, if you get yourself in shape, you take care of your body, like all these different things that if you get up extra shots, like, you'll have success. Well, how do we know? Well, if Julius Randle starts doing all these different things and he turns himself into an all-star and we're sitting here, you know, towards the end of April talking about Julius Randle should be getting MVP votes, like, how do you, like, if I'm one of his teammates, I'm like, I'm doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Well now you are. Now you are, but I give him credit for getting them to this point. Yeah, now I don't want to say easy, but now it's certainly easier because you see there's proof, there's evidence of what I'm telling you is actually working. But the fact that he went to Randle and told him this is what we have to do and he did it, and it's worked, I give both of those guys a lot of credit for that.
No, you have to, Dave. And I think it starts with the incremental improvement that you have in practice. And there has to be that trust between the players and the coaching staff. And it's clear with this particular staff, the players have bought in like they have. And it feels like it was a light switch. It feels like it happened overnight. But this is a process that has been going on since Thibodeau took the job. And, you know, it's one of those steady things. It's a steady progression, but this team has been building to the point that they're at right now, and it just feels like every time they take the court, they have a legit chance at being able to win the game. Like tonight, I fully expect them to go out there and compete and have a chance to beat the Atlanta Hawks, the fourth-place team right now in the Eastern Conference. I fully expect that, even though the Hawks are a more talented team than the Knicks. That's just a fact. So, I mean, it's just you have to give a credit to the players and the coaches because – you know, they're all believing in what they're trying to do, what they're building toward, and because the Knicks give the requisite effort and they play consistent defense, they're always going to have a chance to be competitive, and that's why they've been able to go on this seven-game win streak.
It is amazing. Derrick Rose, this team is hungry and reminds him of teams that he was on earlier in his career.
We're giving all to the team, especially when we come in here. I mean, they've been doing this ever since I got here, so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here, because I saw that they're hungry. A young team like this, it reminded me of some of my good teams when I was younger, so I just try to fit in, look, see what the game needs, and just try to fill that void.
Tonight's a huge game, and you hear Derrick Rose discuss it and how good this team is, and they're fun to watch. And again, I know you're laughing at me for saying it, but it's true. When was the last time you turned a Knicks game on and you wanted to watch it? I mean, I have, like, TVs going on all over the place. I'm flipping like a madman last night. Islanders-Rangers, obviously the Islanders destroyed the Rangers. That goes out of the rotation. The Knicks are the one team right now that you watch them, you're like, I'm going to get effort. They're going to play hard every night. They're competitive, and there's a better chance than not that they're going to win this game. And that's all you ask for as a fan.
So, Dave, yeah, I got to ask you the Rick DiPietro question.
Yeah.
When you got the Knicks and the Mets on at the same time, which TV has the sound?
So it flipped back and forth. The Knicks had the sound because the Knicks were further on in their game also.
Okay.
So it started with the Mets,
mm-hmm.
And then it switched to the Knicks, and then we eventually, because the Islanders-Rangers became a blowout.
Yeah.
So that left the rotation. Yeah. And then we went upstairs, And on the one TV we're watching, it was flipping back and forth. But no, the Knicks got priority because the Mets went on for a lot longer than the Knicks did. So the Knicks got priority. And I think they deserve priority. I mean, if I give you the Yankees, I give you the Mets. They're the most fun team to watch of those three right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have a hard time. Not only are they fun to watch, I mean, can you imagine if the Garden was the Garden? Like, and we weren't dealing with, you know, limited capacity and everything else, how that building would be right now?
Oh, it'd be electric.
It would be the hottest ticket in sports right now.
It would be crazy, Dave.
It would be crazy. And they're winning games. They win all their games at home with nobody there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're 19-10 at home. And that's another credit to them. I don't think that's a small thing either. Like, it's not easy to bring that kind of intensity that they brought, especially in the second half when you don't have, I mean, how many people in the building? There's barely anyone in the building.
What this place would be like tonight if there was 19,000 people there. It would be as electric as you've seen in God knows how long.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Chris, yesterday, the verdict comes out with the police officer in Minnesota, Derek Chauvin, and he's guilty on all accounts. And you saw a lot of tweets and a lot of reaction from the sports world yesterday as well.
Yeah, it was a real emotional day, Dave, with the Derek Chauvin trial verdict coming down. And a lot of people were celebrating because it felt like we finally had justice and accountability for something that seemed so obvious when it took place last Memorial Day with the murder of George Floyd. But the one thing that hit me yesterday as the verdict was being read, Dave, is that we still have a long ways to go. Because a lot of people around the country and around the world were waiting with bated breath as we were getting the news that the verdict was going to be read yesterday afternoon, and people really didn't know which way it was going to go. And that just shows you how little confidence that a lot of people in minority communities have with our criminal justice system. And that's sad because we all watched Derek Chauvin kneel on the neck of George Floyd for over 9 minutes until he passed away. So it's one of those things that, you know, we look at and we say, you know what, it's a good sign because our justice system works, but it just shows you that we have such a long ways to go in terms of normalizing justice for people in black and brown communities.
Well, I think it's hope and hopefully a deterrent. But I mean, what you just said, I think is for me, the biggest problem is that you're waiting with bated breath to see what the verdict is going to be. When that shouldn't be the case at all. I mean, we all watched it. I remember going back in when it happened. And, like, there was no gray area in what you saw.
Mm-mm.
You saw exactly what you saw. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, what's going to happen? What's the verdict going to be? Like,
but you did. I mean, I watched that on pins and needles. Like, oh, my God, what's the verdict going to be? Like, I think everybody had that. You didn't know what it was going to be, which is kind of sad, to be honest with you.
And I think that's the biggest problem, is there shouldn't have been, like, in the black and brown community, because again, it's liberty and justice for all. There shouldn't even have been like, oh, I'm nervous about this verdict. There should have been nothing to be nervous about. You saw what you saw. Everyone saw what they saw. George Floyd was murdered.
Yes, he was. Let me read a couple of tweets from people around the sports world. LeBron James, accountability. Russell Wilson, love wins. Kevin Love, accountability is now trending. Megan Rapinoe sending love and strength to Minnesota today to the family and community of George Floyd and so many others. Trae Young, way more work to do. This is, I think, and she's very wise for her young age. Naomi Osaka, she says, I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we're celebrating something that is clear as day. The fact that so many injustices occurred to make us hold our breath toward this outcome is really telling. And I think that she's right. And I think that she's really a good person to hold the baton for social justice and injustice, because she really gets it. And she uses her platform very well.
You know who else I thought really gets it, Dave? Your New York Mets. Because I saw the statement that they issued as an organization, and I thought it struck the right tone. I mean, they said, let us honor the memory of George Floyd by continuing to work toward reconciliation and healing by ensuring there is justice for all. I thought that was the right thing to say as an organization yesterday, because it's not the end of it yesterday with the reading of that verdict. That's just the beginning. Like, there's still so much that needs to be done to have the kind of reform where we can all, you know, believe in the criminal justice system the way that we should. Like, it just, we still have so far to go. And so I think that yesterday is a step toward that, but that's just the first step. And so I think everybody has to keep that in mind. We got to keep it in its proper context, and we got to continue to fight and push toward having the kind of accountability when it comes to justice that we all deserve in this country.
And we had a lot of, tons and tons of sports teams coming out with statements. Let me read a little bit of a couple of those. The Minnesota Wild say, while the verdict marks the end of the trial, like you say, Chris, there's still so much work to be done. The Wild organization is committed to driving social change and fostering inclusivity by providing a safe, positive, and welcome environment for all community members and employees. NBA says George Floyd's murder was a flashpoint for how we look at race and justice in our country. We're pleased that justice appears to have been served. But you saw it. I mean, this was not, people say stick to sports and don't get out of your lane. This is our lane. I mean, every single sports team. If I said to you, what's the one thing that every sports team commented on yesterday? It was this story, and it deserves our attention.
No, it had a direct impact on sports. I mean, it directly affects what we're talking about with the teams that we talk about. Every single one of the teams was affected. Players were affected. Their families were affected. Yeah, man, this had a huge impact. And I know it's supposed to be all fun and we're breaking down games and everything else. Mm-hmm. But when it crosses over, and this clearly crossed over with everybody, it's something that you have to address.
Lakers say, while we're encouraged by the conviction of Derek Chauvin, we need to acknowledge the possibility for justice and foreclose the moment George Floyd lost his right to breathe. Today, however, the court delivered the next best thing, accountability.
Here's what I will say, Dave, and I know that there's always the crowd that says that they don't want, you know, politics or they don't want social issues blended in their sports. But I will say this, man, when you have athletes with the kind of platform, the kind of reach that we see with today's stars, like it feels like it's the right thing to do for them to express their opinions and to try to, you know, to help guide the country when it comes along with these types of issues, like to be able to set the right tone for what's going on, to acknowledge the importance of this issue in this time in our country. I think that's huge that athletes are willing to take on that mantle. Like, I don't think that athletes should shy away from this. So I want to credit all the athletes that spoke out as this was taking place over the last calendar year in advocating for justice to take place, because I think that's important. I think that helps in terms of being able to frame the conversations that we all know are necessary for us to have.
Yeah, and I would understand, too. I mean, the amount of pressure on these athletes, too. I mean, Chris, you bring up the platform and how, I mean, especially, you know, the LeBron Jameses of the world, like, they, you know, those guys at a different level. I mean, they're not just speaking on behalf of themselves. I mean, they're speaking to friends and family that are pushing them, urging them to
and
use
communities.
The platform.
I mean, it's what Michael Jordan would never do. And people were always so bothered by the fact that he would never take a stance. And now you get a lot of athletes in this day and age that will and that do. And I think a lot of people appreciate it. I mean, LeBron James is the mouthpiece for a lot of people out there.
But I give LeBron James a ton of credit because he's able to do, I think the fear, like after watching, can you believe that it was a year? It was a year yesterday or the day before that the first episode of that documentary came out. It seems like it's flown by, which is amazing to me because we've been stuck in our houses. But I think after watching that doc on Michael Jordan, it was up because he's doing tons of stuff with the community now. It was almost like he didn't feel like he could do both. Like he couldn't invest himself in learning about the different things that they wanted him to speak on. So he just chose basketball.
Right.
Whereas opposed to LeBron is able to do both at a high level. Like, I mean, to do what he's able to do both on and off the court at the level that he's doing it, everything, though, like social issues, business, when you put him on the floor, he's the best player in basketball still.
That's right.
Like, that's incredible, man. Like, I can't even tell you, Dave, how hard, like, it's hard enough to just focus on your sport and being good at it, let alone doing all the other things that LeBron James is able to do while still being the best player in the sport.
You know what I give him so much credit for? Everything he does well. Every single thing. Like, he's well thought when it comes to social issues. He's a great basketball player. He's respectful to the media. Like, he gets it, and he's always gotten it. And you say, well, he's 30, whatever it is, 37 years old. You know what? He's gotten it since he's 23, 24, 25 years old. The guy has been, you could argue, the number one athlete in this country for two decades now. And the worst thing you can say about him is he had a decision which you didn't like, which still, even though you didn't like it, raised money for the Boys and Girls Club of Greenwich, Connecticut.
It actually changed the sport, too. I mean, in all honesty, that decision changed the sport.
It sure did.
Yep.
With player movement and everything else. But, Dave, not even, I mean, from the second that he started in the NBA, I mean, think of what he's done. Like, how many horror stories do you hear about guys that, you know, finally get to the NBA or the NFL, Major League Baseball, whatever it is, and it's like, you know, they got all this money now, and they want to keep their friends with them, so they're just paying their friends to hang out. Like, oh, you know, it's like me having Pete and Such. Okay, you guys just hang out with me, be my buddies, and I'll pay you money. Which is, for what reason? Like, it just makes no sense. LeBron James mm-hmm. is like, I want my buddies around me, but I want them to have success too. So I'm going to have you learn how to be an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to run one of the most powerful agencies in the NBA.
But that's from the time he was 17 years old.
That's what I mean.
Years old.
That's what I mean. It's amazing what he's been able to do. Like, crafting the different narrative. Like, everything that he does. Like, the business stuff. Every mm-hmm. single thing. I mean... It really is incredible, man.
He really is remarkable. All right, Rick, just to add some stress level to your plate, the 2021 NFL Draft begins next Thursday, April 29th. And 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return of football with the Draft Challenge. And we're going to have our own little Draft Challenge on the show next Thursday. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, you can win the jersey of your favorite team's first pick. To enter, text DRAFT, DRAFT to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. We'll assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets pick. If you think there's going to be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, when I do that read, your stress level must go up two notches.
No, it doesn't, because I'm not doing it. I don't know how many times I need you to, like,
You're doing it. He's just talking, Dave. You know what he's doing right now. He's just talking. He's just trying to deflect, trying to push it away, but we know when it comes down to it, he's going to fill out a mock draft.
You think he started his draft prep yet? Like, really started to, like, take notes of this is where...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's been doing a deep dive, Dave. And this just didn't start last week. He's probably been working on it for about a month or so.
You think, like, when he's in the grocery store, he's walking up to the guy in his hazmat suit saying, like, excuse me, where do you see the Panthers going at 8? Like, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dave, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's talking to everybody around him about what the Jets are going to do at 23. Like, he just wants to know what's going to happen now. Now that we know that they're going to take Zach Wilson, he wants to know what they're going to do at 23 and 34. That's how far he's gone.
I'm really hoping Vera Tucker is sitting there at 23. It's not going to happen, but... Oh, it'd be nice.
It's like the Giants could take him at 11.
Well, who knows if the Giants are going to pick at 11? This is what's going to screw up this whole thing. Is all of a sudden now the Giants are talking about trading back?
Oh, it'd be so good. You see the report from Ian Rappaport yesterday? That says the Giants really, really honestly are thinking about moving back? Like, that's a realistic conversation they're having right now?
I think it would make sense. I mean, it's just not, it's not something Dave Gettleman has done.
Well, that's why it's hard to believe that he's going to do it, though.
No, I know. But, I mean, come on. Who's really making the decisions? Let's be honest. At this point.
You going Joe Judge here?
I think Judge is going to have a huge influence on what happens. How much longer is Dave Gettleman going to be around?
I mean, at best
maybe
case...
Maybe 1 year?
Yeah, at best case, 2-3 years. I mean, if things go really well this year, maybe 2-3 years. Maybe not. If the Giants are bad this year, Gettleman is out.
He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. He's done. It's a wrap. And then you'll be the Jets again.
All right, listen, broccoli boy. You want to hear some good news for your...
It's cauliflower.
Whatever.
I'll tell you now, if you send me over some burnt broccoli, oh, I don't care. Oh, delicious. Love the burnt broccoli.
So, like most people are like donuts or cookies or they just get your like roughage, like vegetables.
No, I'm not roughage. I'm just, no, if I had a choice, if you told me I could have, I mean, you give me a pizza or a plate of burnt broccoli, I'm going to pick the pizza every time, every single time. But I mean, if it's the only thing to eat, like if my choice is, you know, do you want.
But it wasn't the only thing to eat. It's not like you were stranded on a desert island and they were like, all right, you can either have seawater or broccoli or cauliflower. You chose. There's a lot of cauliflower. I'm going to partake.
That was what was made. What do you mean? There was no other option. It was you're going to have, I had the meatloaf. I love meatloaf. And then the side was the buffalo cauliflower.
No, which I get. But you didn't have to have multiple plates of the thing.
I think it would have been bad today.
Okay, then
and then
you know
what would happen?
You know what you could do? Chris, have you ever taken a food and put it in the garbage because nobody's eaten it?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Yes, I've done that. Yeah.
Yes. I've done it.
That's what normal people do.
People starve out there, Dave. No, normal people don't do that. Normal people do not
shove it down their throats and say, I'm going to have 3-4 plates of something that should just be tossed.
I refuse. I refuse. Cassie put the time and effort into making it. It was delicious. I didn't have the, I mean, obviously didn't have the, don't have the stomach, but I could not. I mean, I couldn't throw it away. It was too
it's
good.
Not black
it
caviar, for God's sakes.
Right.
It was delicious. I'm telling you right now, you came over and tasted this buffalo cauliflower, it would change your life.
Listen, I'm sure I would love it, but I wouldn't love three plates of this stuff. All right. You know, here's what you're going to love. Todd McShay was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday, and while you were prepping the cauliflower for dinner last night, he had some really good things to say about one Zach Wilson for the Jets.
Are the Jets making the right pick with Zach Wilson? Do you think that that's the guy?
Yes, absolutely. I really do. I believe in that guy. And I don't think there's a huge gap between Trevor and Zach. And I've said that to people who matter. I really don't. And I love Trevor. I think Trevor's going to be a star. I think Zach's going to be a star, too. You know, he had the shoulder injury and the hand injury in 2019, but and I know they didn't play the schedule that everyone wanted to see them play this past season, but they played who they could play.
And there you go. That's got to make you feel a little bit better,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't. No,
why?
It does not make me feel better.
Why? He says he looks Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, kind of a 1A, 1B situation.
Now, well, if you take away the fact that he's already hurt and had surgery on his throwing shoulder.
Right.
He's had the hand injury, and then, you know, the competition isn't great. And take the competition, that's fine. I have not, like, that's, we've already seen quarterbacks that have played against similar competition have success.
Josh Allen exhibited.
Josh Allen,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Carson Wentz. I mean, they've had success. I'm more concerned about the injury stuff because he's not a big guy. He's not a big guy. And you don't normally get healthier once you get into the NFL. It's like if you had injury troubles in college, it doesn't all of a sudden just stop once you get to the NFL.
No, you're right. That's a legitimate concern, Rico. But the one thing that gives me a little bit of optimism about Zach Wilson being able to work out in New York is the fact that the kid is going to have a solid infrastructure in place in terms of the organization being in lockstep with the decision to draft him with the second overall pick. Like, you finally have the head coach and the general manager both on board with him being tabbed as the future franchise guy. So I think that's important. And then when you look at the physical attributes that you would want from your quarterback, he's got the mobility. He has that it factor when it comes to those second reaction plays, being able to extend the down with his legs. And I mean, the sheer arm talent, man, the dude can sling it. I mean, just some of the throws that we've seen him make on some of the highlight reels and at the pro day. I mean, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that can make those types of throws. There just aren't. So, I mean, I feel like it has a chance at being able to work out. I think he has a better chance than Sam Darnold had of being able to make this situation work in New York.
Rick, here's how I see you right now. You are like me with the Knicks. Like, until you see it go in the right direction and start to change, you're not going to believe it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I mean, how could you not look at that? If you're a Jets fan, in the history the Jets have had with quarterbacks, like, how could you not feel that way? And we haven't seen this coaching. You know, we haven't seen this coaching staff. I mean, do I like the hires? I absolutely love the hires, but again, it's not a proven commodity yet. On paper, it looks great, and I fingers crossed he's going to do a great job. He can't be any worse than Adam Gase, right?
No.
So already he's in a better. Already Zach Wilson's in a better spot. And if Mike LaFleur takes that offense that we've seen from Kyle Shanahan and what his brother's running in Green Bay, for a quarterback with Zach Wilson's skill set, it seems like it's the perfect fit. But I'm hesitant because, again, when you get into situations like this where it's not the clear-cut guy, like Trevor Lawrence is going with the first overall pick, right? Like, Jacksonville already knows. We're taking – I mean, he's already talking about, I can't wait to get into the community and everything else.
Right,
like, that's a foregone conclusion. Now it's, which quarterback do you prefer? Because they're all right there.
I would love to know, maybe we'll even ask Dan Graziano this later, how many teams of the other 31 would take Zach Wilson? Like, I wonder if he is the consensus number two overall pick, or it's like, you know, some would take Fields, and some would take Lance, and some would take Wilson.
I was told by somebody that I trust that the 49ers, if they had their choice, if they had the second overall pick, would have taken Zach Wilson.
So that's got to make you feel better, no?
That makes
or
me feel
or
good.
Can nothing make you feel better right now?
No, that makes me feel good because I think Kyle Shanahan's one of the best offensive minds in the NFL.
So maybe Rico, did Shefty tell you that? Did Shefty tell you that over sushi?
No, I haven't had sushi yet. No.
No?
I'm going to send. I've decided. Dave talked me into it. I'm going to send Shefty a nice good luck text
because it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. Maybe a present. Maybe I send him a gift.
No, no, no. Nope. That becomes creepy. You cross the line. Unless you're sending him a big plate of like a vegetable. No. Don't do that.
Well, did you? I mean, we got cookies. The station sent us cookies.
That was
something
very
like
nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That's the place I go
with
a dead. That milk bar is the place. Remember I brought in the crack pie?
Yeah.
Remember the crack pie?
Yeah.
That's from. You can't call it crack pie anymore. They had to change the name.
What do they call it?
It's, I don't even know. I call it crack pie.
It's outstanding,
you can't call it,
no.
You can't all call it crack pie.
You remember when kids used to run up and down the basketball court and they would call it that thing?
Yeah, you can't even say that anymore.
No. Can't say that anymore either.
No, you can't say that anymore.
You're talking about the conditioning drill? You can't call it that anymore?
You know, you like run to the
because
foul line
an S?
And then back to the baseline and then to the three-point line and back, and they would call it, you know, if you were to do damage to yourself. Yeah, no, you can't call it that anymore.
There are schools now that won't use the, you're not called a freshman.
First year?
You're a first-year student.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, but we're tiptoeing the line here. Like, it's getting a little, like, the whole Mr. Potato Head thing, and everything. It's getting a little bit, it's a little much.
Well, regardless of that, I think that you send the tweet to Schefter, maybe next Wednesday, hey, it's Rick, good luck, you're gonna do great, can't wait to watch, that kind of thing. Not I'm going to send you food, not I'm you know, anything beyond that, just very simple. Just a good luck, it's me, talk to you after the draft. That's it.
You know what I should do? And this is, it's not going to get done, and I wish I would have thought of it. What I should have done is I should have had a DC, like a beautiful DCR tie made. That he could wear it during draft coverage. It's such a nice looking tie. Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, what if it was just, it's a gorgeous tie?
Like a beautiful silk tie?
Yeah, this is DCR. Just think about that too. DCR tie, like a nice, like a beautiful, like, because our colors, I don't know how they became our colors, but the red, white, and blue.
Those are our colors. Like, I mean, those
beautiful,
are the best
navy.
New York has to offer.
Like a beautiful navy tie with the red and white DCR. You wear that nice,
but then
nice,
knowing
crisp,
you,
white
you'd,
shirt.
You'd spend tons of money on this tie. You'd have it sent to him. He wouldn't wear it, and you would now, you know, forever be damaged.
No, because he's on TV all the time. He would wear it at some point. Everyone, Dave, here's a little secret. I don't care how much money you have. You'd be a billionaire. Everyone loves free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff.
So you think sent a tie, like you had a tie made up and sent it to Warren Buffett, like this 89-year-old multi-billionaire would get it, be like, oh, a free tie.
Guaranteed he'd wear it.
Yeah.
You should have seen, like, so when we go to Toronto, the NHLPA is in Toronto. So they had like this little, like, it was like a closet, like a big closet. It was called the NHLPA store. And you're paying for this stuff. It's not free because you're paying dues to the union. They'd have T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats. You should have seen the amount of stuff that guys would go home with from the PA store. I'm talking bags and bags of free gear, and then wear it to the rink. The Christmas presents, wear it to the rink every day. It's crazy. Everyone loves free stuff.
This. Cookies, free cookies.
Free cookies.
See what
I'm telling you.
What he eats every morning, though, he stops at McDonald's and gets like a bacon egg or ham egg and cheese or sausage egg and cheese McMuffin kind of thing every single day, and pays for it with exact change.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.